You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Baby Boomer University. As we get older, we have a lot more needs than we had when we were younger. What do you do when you or a loved one needs in-home care? How do you find good, reliable people that you can trust? What should your expectations be of a provider? Where do you turn? Well, today's guest is Stephanie Aldridge. She is a home care consultant from Home Instead Cares. She has over 10 years of experience in the healthcare industry, starting her career in the skilled nursing industry. She's worked with the rehabilitation process and moved to non-medical home care in 2014. Her vast amount of knowledge will give us great insight into the in-home care profession. Welcome to Baby Boomer University. All right, class is in session. So, Stephanie, how'd you like your intro?
Oh, I loved it. It was wonderful.
Well, once again, we have Stephanie Aldridge from Home Instead Senior Care. And I'm very excited about this because this is something that everyone eventually is going to have to deal with. We live in such a sandwich society where our baby boomers are not only taking care of their kids, but they're taking care of mom and dad also, sometimes from thousands of miles away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's how Home Instead Senior Care can help a little bit with adult children that are caring for their mother or father or even a spouse. And then they're also trying to manage working full time and then, you know, caring for their own children. So it's very difficult to balance everything.
Oh, for sure. So let me ask you this. How would you describe the Home Instead Senior Care Service to a friend?
Well, the way I would describe it is we have professional caregivers and they go into seniors' homes and they provide services. And we can do anywhere from 8 hours a week to 24 round-the-clock care. But the things that we provide allow a senior to remain in their home and mm-hmm. to live independently with just a little bit of help. You know, sometimes people just need a companion or someone to help them with like light housekeeping. You know, we do medication reminders. We prepare nutritious meals. We do exercising. Mm. There's, you know, we do everything that could help them to live independently. We help with showers, you know, we'll help with transfers.
Okay. All right. So what makes, there's a lot of in-home senior care providers. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's basically an unregulated, you don't have to be state licensed in the state of Michigan, or how does that work?
Well, it's kind of a gray area. I mean, we're okay. licensed, bonded, and insured.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. But it's not, our services aren't, they're not viewed as medical. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can just say, do these types of services for these types of diagnoses. You know, I meet with families, myself and my associate Debbie at Home Instead, and we do an evaluation.
Okay.
And then we get to know what their needs are. And then we develop a plan of care specific for that client. So it is regulated. Basically by what their needs are and how we can assist them.
Okay. And, you know, I went on and I read a lot of your reviews. And you guys have some awesomes. By the way, guys, they had a 4.99 rating. Because you always get the one person that can't, oh, they're awesome. They're fabulous. 4 stars.
Yeah.
What's that all about? So one of them said, always on time, taking care of Joe and very patient. Joe feels safe with her. And that is so important. Just like you mentioned, the socialization, which we're really, really big into, because people don't understand that what a detrimental impact that has on someone being isolated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The socialization is so important. I mean, someone that it lives alone and then let's say they can't drive either. So what are they doing all day long? Maybe
right.
watching television or, you know, maybe they go on Facebook, but maybe they don't even do that.
Sure.
And if you're isolated long enough, you begin to feel depressed and unhappy, and then your health goes down as well. So it's very important. People
oh,
don't
yeah.
they don't look at socialization as important as, you know, other things that people do. And it helps your mind.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if you're familiar with the Harvard study on socialization. It's actually the longest running study on humans ever.
Okay.
And it started back in the 40s, just post-World War II.
Uh-huh.
And basically what they found is by age 50, based on your sphere of influence and what type of socialization, it could really determine your how long you're going to live.
Okay. Oh, I believe it. I mean, I see clients and they're alone and maybe their kids visit, you know, once a week or right. so, and then they're by themselves. And then our caregivers start coming in and now they have someone to talk to and share stories. And the beauty of it is the caregiver doesn't know all their stories already.
Right.
Like, you know, the kids maybe have heard it like 20 times, but the caregivers, they've never heard it. So it's a new person to communicate with, someone that's not a family member. It's a good way to build a relationship and, you know, hopefully develop a friendship too.
Oh, yeah. Actually, one of the reviews I was reading was how the adult child was saying that the caregiver that you guys have in there, treated their mom like her mom.
Uh-huh.
And just that relationship, that bonding, they were just really shocked by it and how beneficial it was to their mom.
Yeah. Oh.
So going on, though, why do you think it's important for people to age in place?
Well, studies have shown that, I mean, a humongous percentage, I think it's maybe 90% of seniors, that's what their goal is, to age in place, that they want to stay in their homes. It's very important to people. And that's what we provide. We allow people to stay in their homes. You know, once in a while, some people, you know, they desire to move to like an assisted living or a senior independent living. But it's nice to have choices. I mean,
some people,
they prefer to have care coming into their home. And then some people prefer to move into, you know, a different environment.
Now, do you ever go into an environment? Because you do a lot of the assessments, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So do you ever go into an environment and say, you know, this particular environment's just not conducive?
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you should see how some people live. You know, sometimes it's not a safe environment. Or if all of a sudden they find themselves after hospital stay returning home and then all of a sudden they're wheelchair bound. But then their house isn't set up for that.
Sure.
So you can either make modifications to the home.
Right. For sure.
And then in some cases, some people do move, actually.
Yeah. To get to more of a conducive. Yeah. And we worked with a lot of folks that are CAPS certified. Mm-hmm. So going in, but when you're talking about widening hallways, widening doorways, zero thresholds, it can be pretty overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely. Or if the shower is upstairs, all of a sudden you're putting in like a chair lift, you know, up to your bedroom and up to where the shower is.
Yeah. We had a client, a very gregarious man. He was in his 80s. And he had a chairlift.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first met him, you know, he's coming down this chairlift. Well, he didn't need a chairlift.
Uh-huh.
That was for his wife who had passed away.
Oh, okay.
But he just enjoyed riding up and down the stairs. And it was kind of humorous because as he came down, I was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, definitely a colonial is not going to. Then he hops out of it and, hey, how you doing? Whoa. Kind of took me back. So right now we've kind of talked about a little bit about this sandwich generation we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
As baby boomers are taking care of both adults, their elders, and their kids.
Uh-huh.
And two parts of that question is, one, I know we work with a lot of the elders, and whenever we do, we have to ask permission if they want their adult children involved in the process.
Okay.
Because sometimes the adult children are trying to take over.
Yeah, that's true.
And the second one is, what kind of suggestions do you have for those adult children that are needed in the process, or how do you get them involved in the process? So that's a pretty open question.
Yeah. Well, you know what? To be honest, the adult children, they're the ones that are calling us.
Okay.
They call us first, and they are all on board for home instead.
Nice.
It is nice, but the senior, the client, they have to be on board. If they don't want it to happen, it is not successful because they're the ones that actually are having the caregivers in their home.
Right.
So usually the family is pretty involved.
Okay.
Sometimes we have to have them decide on one primary contact? Because we can't take advice from six different people.
We do the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
Because we have the same scenario. It's like, who's going to be the main contact here? Period. You disseminate.
Yeah. Because it gets way too complicated when they're all suggesting different hours and different tasks for our caregivers. So just one person.
It's kind of like when you were a kid and you played that landline game where you whisper to this person, so on and so forth. By the time it gets to that sixth person, it's like, okay, the daycare giver is coming in from midnight to 2 a.m. Only on national holidays.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not what was said.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, very cool. Now, what else would you, how would you then say, okay, adult children, this is a big segue for your elders in your life. What tips would you have for them to help maybe cushion the blow, I guess is the only terminology?
Yeah. No, that's a very good question. Because when they call, they'll call home instead and they'll say they're interested in care for their mother. And I always say, well, you know, I'd love to meet with you and your family, but it might be a better idea if you talk to your mom first.
Okay.
And let her know that you're concerned about her well-being at home and that you feel that, you know, help from a professional caregiver might improve her life.
Okay.
And then if your mom's like, well, yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I'd love to have Stephanie over and we could talk about, you know, home instead. But then if your mom says, oh, no way, I don't want that, then it's I could still come over and talk to you. But chances are it might not be successful. So we want everyone on board.
Sure. Now, and I imagine sometimes there's just a period of time for the elder to get adjusted to the thought.
Uh-huh.
And do you sometimes have people who are just like, yippee-yi-yay, let's go?
Yeah. Oh, some people, they love it. I mean, when we actually have a senior call our office and say, I need help for myself, we're like, wow, they get it.
It's that unusual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They don't. That's, no, in their minds, they don't need help, apparently. I'm not sure, but that's what happens. But once in a while, they will call the office and they'll say, I need assistance for myself. You know, I love my home and I want to remain in my home. And I realize that if I want that to happen, I need to bring in some help. So
good for them.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, just something to educate. And like this program now, this helps educate people.
Yeah. For sure.
And then they'll say, oh, there's options for me out there, you know?
Absolutely. Now, what would be like the perfect client for you? So at what point does it go beyond, or what point, I don't know if you've ever walked into a scenario where you look at it and say, you don't need us yet, guys, or I don't know. So what's that perfect client look like?
Well, you know what? If the senior's living alone, chances are they could always use some help.
Oh, just for the socialization.
Just for the socialization. If you are walking with a walker, how about for a good example?
Okay.
Chances are you do need some help. How are you preparing a nutritious meal for yourself if you're supposed to be using a walker? How are you carrying the laundry basket with your walker? It's very difficult. And then when it comes down to, they're not actually using the walker. So then it's a safety issue. But there are, I haven't really ran into many clients that call us and want help. And then after I do an evaluation, I can't find anything for our caregivers to do.
Okay.
There's always like companionship and going on outings and things like that. That's some of the fun things that our caregivers get to do.
Well, that's excellent. I know when we talk with folks about aging in place, because you know, I've been doing this for 18 years. So it's to us, it's let's find the best situation for you. And if it's aging in place, let's do that. And we always look at what we call our big four, which is, are you getting proper nutrition?
Uh-huh.
So because a lot of times the elders we've worked with, all of a sudden a pack of saltines becomes dinner.
Frozen meals.
So one of the tips we give the adult children we're working with is when you go over that once a week visit to visit mom, snap a photo of the inside of the refrigerator. The following week, pull the photo up, look in the fridge and compare to get a good idea. Because oftentimes, I'm sure you get this too, where they'll say, no, you know, dad's eating. Well, but what is he eating?
Yeah.
You know, so ours is proper nutrition, taking your meds. And you guys help with that?
Yes, we do. Yes.
The next one is socialization, which here again, I totally agree with you. It's the most understated issue that's going on right now with our elders in our country. And the transitions we've seen with people has just been amazing. And the fourth is if the property is safe for their environment. So one of the things I had asked you that what makes your business stand out, but I want to read this to you because I thought you didn't mention this. And this is really, I thought was super cool. So this is one of your reviews. We were getting ready to move Dad to an assisted living facility. And because the doctor's delay in getting an order for a chest x-ray, we had one day to get it done. None of my siblings and I live close to my dad. Home instead walked me through getting the order from the doctor directly to St. John's Medical Center and then arranged for my dad's caregiver to take him for the chest x-ray. I can't thank the staff enough for calming me down and helping my dad.
Well, that's a good review.
That's Well, I thought it was just outstanding because here's someone that's transitioning to an assisted living facility. But you guys are, it sounds like you tend to go above and beyond.
Oh, all the time. I mean, we help them through the whole process, you know, through any, like we go there, we do an assessment. We write up a plan of care. Then we're educating and introducing the caregiver to the family. We make sure it's a good fit. We have a nurse that does quality assurance visits. Let's say after a week they call and they say, oh, I'm not sure about my caregiver.
Okay.
You know, we really discuss it with them because I don't believe like in a week you really get a chance to get to know the caregiver. And sometimes it can be just a matter of, you know, speaking to the caregiver and giving them a little bit of advice because everyone's different and all our caregivers have amazing training. So everyone's capable of doing the job. It's just that everyone has a different personality. So some people are very talkative and some people are very quiet. And sometimes it's easy as just telling the caregiver, okay, now they don't like having conversation all day long. And they say, oh, easy fix, you know?
Right.
I mean, so sometimes it's very easy to make a good match.
Excellent. Excellent. And then what are some of the other situations that you've ran into that was kind of unique, but you stepped up to the plate, your company, and handled it for your clients?
Well, we do a wide variety of different things. You know what? This is unique. We had our client was flying to Washington, D.C. To visit their son. And we had just started this client. We've worked with him maybe a couple weeks, but he wanted us to help facilitate this gentleman. He was kind of confused. You know, he had early stages of dementia and this son wanted us to facilitate packing for the trip.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's fine. Making sure that dad went online and had his boarding pass all set up. They wanted transportation to the airport, make sure dad's getting on the right, you know, plane and things like that. So that was a little bit. Now, we do that, of course. We do transportation and, you know, we help people get ready for trips. But that isn't something that happens a lot.
Right.
You know, not many of our clients, you know, after meeting them for only a few visits are trusting us to help their loved one to fly, you know, to another state. But it went up. It was wonderful. And he got on the plane and he, you know, visited his son and it worked out really well.
And so, then you were there to pick him up also on the return trip?
On the return trip, I think he, no. We didn't pick him up when he flew back to Michigan. The son had arranged something else. It wasn't, you know, during our time with the dad.
So, but what a huge benefit. So here you have, you know, an adult child that's hundreds of miles away and that's a huge concern to have someone you can trust and be able to do this. Because often I know a lot of the folks we work with, they might not have other siblings or they might have other siblings in the area that aren't really involved.
Yeah.
And to be able to make sure that when, you know, dad steps off the plane, he's actually stepping off at the right place. That's pretty huge.
It was. And this gentleman, I mean, he had medicine to pack. He had like a wide variety of different things going on, you know, to visit his son that was in Washington, okay. D.C. So we did our best and it worked out well. So
now, did you work in conjunction with the airport so that they had someone to meet?
Yes. Or, you know, because okay. at the airport they have, you know, like I wouldn't say a wheelchair, but like mm-hmm. a cart that a senior could sit on with their luggage and get to the right gate. And
okay.
So there was a lot of pieces that we had to, you know, put together and make sure oh, everything yeah. went correctly for it.
Well, excellent. Excellent. Now, has anyone ever went with someone on a trip like that? Or
no, not flying okay. or anything like that. But
just curious.
I'm sure the caregivers would like that, though.
Yeah, if there's the Bahamas that comes up, let me know.
Yeah.
I can handle that. So what's the biggest challenge in educating the adult children and the seniors for you? What's the one thing that you wish their expectations would change?
Well, their expectations are pretty good. I think okay. one of the challenges is getting people to admit that they need help.
Okay.
People call us when their loved one is already at the hospital. And then they'll call myself and I'll go and I'll do an assessment in the hospital. And then they want help the next day. Well, sometimes, and I mean just sometimes, is it that mm-hmm. quickly? You know, there's a lot of process involved. You know, we want to write up a good plan of care. Mm-hmm. We want to make the perfect match. So there's a lot of things in place.
Certainly.
Yeah. So I think that people should not be waiting so long to get help.
That's a common across every field.
Uh-huh.
They wait too long.
Absolutely.
But going on to that, one of the nice things about Homestead Senior Care is you are a little bit on the larger side.
Okay. Yes.
So you have a little depth.
Uh-huh.
Where I think some of these, and I'm not knocking them, but some of the in-home care companies that are small,
mm-hmm.
if that caregiver gets sick,
uh-huh.
how do they fill that gap?
Oh, well, this is the procedure. Let's say the caregiver calls because, I mean, mm-hmm. they're humans. They
exactly.
They get sick. So let's say they call and they say, we're not feeling well. I'm not going to be able to go and work with my client today. This is our procedure, and it works out very well.
Okay.
We call the family, and we say, the caregiver's not feeling well. Would you like a replacement? Because maybe they don't want a replacement. And if we just find someone new, and then all of a sudden this new caregiver is going to the house, mm-hmm. You know, that might be make the client nervous.
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe they say, oh, well, I only want caregiver Rebecca. And, you know, you sent someone else that would be highly qualified.
Right.
But people sometimes get set in their own ways. However, many of our clients are absolutely very dependent on our service. And in those cases, we know because we're very familiar with our clients
sure.
and our caregivers, mm-hmm. and we'll find a replacement and a replacement caregiver will go in because we're always hiring. We're always training. We're always providing education for the caregivers. So everyone will be qualified to go in and do a fill-in if needed.
Nice. So what is your, just out of curiosity, what's your hiring process and training process for your caregivers?
Okay. Oh, that's a good question. Well,
and it's not even on my sheet. So, no.
The caregivers, they do apply online. And then after they apply, we do have like a personality test, mm-hmm. Which I think is very important because if somebody is responsible and ethical and caring, then we can train them because we have an amazing training program. So if they possess those qualities that a personality test can identify, then we say, oh, well, this seems like a good candidate. So they can come into our office for a face-to-face interview. And if they do well on their face-to-face interview, then the big screening begins. So it's three professional reference checks, three personal reference checks, okay. nationwide criminal background checks, drug screenings. They have to have a safe driving record, a safe automobile, valid insurance. We do fingerprinting. So they have
wow.
to have, they have to be a quality individual. Mm-hmm. And then we have training that they participate in as well.
Well, before you go into the training,
mm-hmm.
real quick, now, and that's something that your company does. It's not mandated by the state or?
That's Homestead. We have high okay. franchise standards.
Okay.
And so because we have a home office in Omaha, Nebraska, and they put high standards in place so that all the franchises are run, you know, very well. You know, they want to have
I think it's hugely
quality
important.
Product. Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the problems we're seeing in this industry right now. It's where the whole elders and with, you know, the demographics and such, a lot of people are jumping into this industry, yours, mine, and all facets of it. And all of a sudden they're like, they get their, you know, Vistaprint cards and and that's it. And,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
By having those kinds of standards, that in itself makes you stand out just so far.
Oh, absolutely.
And okay, so now on to the training.
Okay. Well, you know, the training, we're going to teach them how to identify illnesses in seniors, how to build relationships. We teach them also on, you know, things like dementia, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's. We have training for hospice patients. We have training for personal care. People, once they learn these skills, then they can go into a home and, you know, care for a wide variety of different seniors or people with disabilities.
Well, that's excellent. And by doing some of that training, when the can they kind of foresee when a transition might be coming up, where maybe it's time for mom and or dad to transition to, you know, maybe whatever.
You mean like an assisted living
assisted,
or something
well, even
like
beyond
that,
assisted
or,
living, maybe
oh, like
memory
a,
care
okay.
or something of
well,
that nature.
We would say something. Well, because we have a quality assurance program. So we have a nurse that goes into the homes.
Okay.
And she makes sure that the care is, you know, very good. And she can make suggestions like, I think they need more care.
Okay.
And then sometimes, you know, maybe they could scale back on care. But unfortunately, because of the aging process, usually people do need
for sure
a little bit more care after a few years. But then if we think memory care would be appropriate, because they could always increase hours with us because we do round the clock care.
Okay.
So we would be qualified to handle that.
Right.
And especially with the help of some other outside services, like a medical home care. Mm-hmm. Like if we see an increase in weakness, then we can refer to like one of our partners in the industry that can do therapy.
Okay.
And then maybe a nurse would come and help if they had developed, you know, a skin issue. Mm-hmm. So there's always people that we rely on in the community to help us. They could increase care. And if they, let's say they didn't want to increase care with home instead, then we might say, you know what, I think it is time for a memory care.
Because sure.
Their safety is our top priority.
Well, I think the biggest thing there is just knowing as an adult child that someone's actively watching, you know, the elder, mom and or dad, and not being blindsided, not getting that call that, oh, you know, by the way, your mom's been having night frights for the last, and we can no longer handle her, do something with her.
Yeah.
So you guys have the systems. It sounds like you have the systems in place to kind of keep them in the loop, but project those future cares before it becomes a huge issue.
Oh, absolutely. No, we would call and make suggestions. Perfect example. My nurse, she goes and sees the clients. So she went and saw one and she said, you know, I think that they need a few additional pieces of equipment in the home.
Okay.
So, okay, Debbie, you know, that sounds great. So I call the family and I let them know that in order for the safety of your father and the safety of our caregivers, because we don't want them to hurt themselves.
Sure.
With, you know, injuring their backs and things like that we need, you know, these pieces of equipment. And then it's, you know, up to the family to get those pieces of equipment. And usually they do. So it's not an issue, you know, so it's safe for everyone.
Well, that actually is. I'll read another one of your reviews.
Good.
So our aide is a wonderful caring help to my husband. She is always prompt and pleasant. The home care has been all we had hoped for. And like this situation, you have, it sounds like there's a husband and wife. And not only do they want to age in place, they want to age together. And you run into that quite a bit where, quite frankly, your services are the difference between, because, I mean, we have had some clients where, you know, the husband went to a senior community because he needed the assistance and the wife stayed at home. Now, I don't know why they decided to do that, but it sounds like you can really prevent that from happening.
Oh, we can totally help. We can help in that situation a great deal, because if you're the spouse of someone that needs assistance and you are doing their care round the clock, it is so hard. And especially
for sure,
if it's the spouse, they could be 85 too. Mm-hmm. So that is really hard on someone. So when they, you know, contact home instead, let's say they get someone to help every other day. Well, then every other day, the spouse gets a break and then they can get out of the house and run errands. So I always tell them that if, because you got worn out because you're caring for your loved ones so much, then they have no one to care for them.
Sure.
So it's a very good idea to take a break, you know, even if it's just every other day for a few hours.
Oh, totally agree.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that being a caregiver for your loved one, a wife to a husband or an adult child to their parents, is huge, huge responsibility and very draining on them, not only physically, but mentally.
Uh-huh.
So let's say someone was like that, that, hey, I'm taking care of my mom. I moved in. I moved back from wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need a break.
Uh-huh.
What's kind of the minimum for you guys and the maximum? The maximum, I imagine, would be 24/7.
Yeah, around the clock care. But the minimum at my home instead, which you know, we're in Shelby Township, it's 8 hours a week. So if they only want the bare minimum, then it would be 2 4-hour shifts.
Okay.
Or 3 3-hour shifts. I know that equals 9, but still. You can get a lot done if you can run out for 3 hours or even 4 hours. You know, you can go to your own doctor's appointments,
right?
Run errands, go to the grocery store. Sometimes they don't even leave, but then they know that they could just relax in their bedroom and our caregiver will have everything handled.
Just take a break
for
a minute, which that is huge because, quite frankly, like you were saying with the husband and wife scenario.
Uh-huh.
Where at some point, if she doesn't take a break in this case and get someone to help, then, you're not going to be able to take care of him.
No,
there's going to come to that point. And that's a really neat service, I think. People don't realize that just those three-hour time slots, even if it's just going to Starbucks and having a cup of coffee and just decompressing, it's going to make for a better relationship, wouldn't you agree, between that caregiver and their loved one.
Oh, yeah, because then I'm not going to say that they resent them.
No.
But maybe they can't visit their friends. Maybe they don't feel good now because they're getting worn down. And they're like, you know, all of this is a result because I'm the round-the-clock caregiver for my spouse, who I love. But if they are able to get out of the house once in a while or just not have to worry about that person... You know, it does so much for their well-being. They could be a better caregiver then.
Oh, absolutely. And having your professional eyes coming in, you know, because quite frankly, you know, business I'm really good at. Medical is not my gig.
Yeah.
You know, but having someone come in that says, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but this is going on. We need to get someone in to look at it. That in itself would just be a huge value added.
Absolutely. You know, just little things like there are doctors that make house calls.
Oh, sure.
There are podiatrists that go to the home. You can have a physical therapist come to the house, and then you can have your professional caregiver. So you can have everything you need, really, come to your home.
And you can even order a pizza.
That's right. You can even have pizza.
Oh, my goodness. It's like the Amazon of medical. Right to the door, no boxes. Okay. I just want a couple more here. So always the big question is, how does someone pay for the services?
Well, it's the majority of our clients are private pay. Our services are not covered by Medicare and Blue Cross and HAP. They're classified as non-medical. So your medical insurance is not going to be paying for home instead. But if you look at it this way, medical insurance does not pay for your assisted living.
Oh, sure.
So if you need care, it is going to come out of your pocket. There are some, long-term care insurance. That is similar to a life insurance policy. So that is something that someone would pay for and be paying into for years. Mm-hmm. And then when they need the care, they use the long-term care insurance, and that does reimburse for our services.
Okay. And it's best to look at that at age 60, by the way, putting that out to folks. Seriously, that's kind of that 60? Sweet spot.
Okay. That's good advice.
Yeah.
We have a few clients like this, people that are victims of automobile accidents.
Okay.
So if you are a victim of an automobile accident and then you're disabled because of it, mm-hmm. Auto insurance does reimburse for our services.
Okay. What about VA benefits?
Now, VA benefits, we usually refer our clients that are interested in getting VA benefits to a professional, someone that we trust. And with the VA benefits, they usually get a reimbursement sent to their home.
Nice.
And then they can use those funds to pay for home instead.
Excellent. And really, at the end of the day, paying for these services are just necessary services.
Well, you have to pay for something.
Exactly. I totally agree. And that's part of that budgeting process that we never thought about when we were 20 and 30, right? Yeah. So let's say you had a friend in a different state, and they're nowhere near one of your sister companies.
Okay.
And they said, Stephanie, what question should I ask when interviewing these different in-home care companies? What would be the top five questions you'd tell them to ask?
Well, I would say, how do you find your caregivers? How do you screen them? Okay. I think that's a very important
Hugely
question.
Important.
You know, people ask me that all the time, what if we don't like our caregiver, what do you do? Mm-hmm. So that's important to find out. I would probably like to know, how long have you been in business? Mm-hmm. Who is the owner of your company? The owner of our home instead is a registered nurse. So she has a medical background. She understands caring for seniors. I think that's important. A lot of people go into this business and they're automotive executives, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just they don't have the background, really.
Right.
There's lots of things. What I would ask, what you were saying, what do you do if the caregiver calls in? What's their procedure?
That's a huge one.
Yeah, because people are human beings, and our caregivers are allowed to take vacation time, too. I mean, imagine that. So if they don't go on vacations, then, you know, they're going to get worn out. So we
Absolutely.
Allow them that freedom. It's important to know that they do have backup. It is being a caregiver these days, it's an in-demand field.
Huge.
It really is. So you have to make sure that these home care companies have employees, and the right employees, too.
Okay. Right. Is there a particular ratio that you would think for amount of employees that you personally, now you're telling a friend, they live in, you know, Oxford, Alaska.
Yeah.
And would there be a minimum size, not trying to put you too much on the spot, but that depth of coverage is huge. And a lot of people don't understand that.
No, they don't understand it. I mean, I would just make sure that I would maybe say something like, are there many times where you experience a shortage of caregivers so that your clients go without? I might say it that way and see what
That's
their answer
direct.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can never, maybe you have tons of caregivers on staff, but all the caregivers only have 12 hours of availability.
Good point.
You know, so it doesn't really, it's not the, you know, the quantity, but how much are your caregivers willing to work for you? How many hours do they want to work per week?
And how many clients to caregiver ratio?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of variables that goes in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love the way you question that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. And then now have you, in your experience, because you've been doing this a while and you have a medical background also, have you ever seen, what's the biggest changes you've seen in folks once caregiving is happening?
Well, I see that people are doing a lot better, especially if they're exercising. I cannot say enough about seniors exercising. So, if you're listening right now, please start exercising. It's important. The seniors that I see that are doing well and they're eating well and they're still getting around well, they are exercising on a regular basis. It's not just so that you can be thin or so that you can be buff. It's for your own well-being. So
for
important.
Sure. So what age do you forego the feeling buff stage? That's I'm just curious. You know,
no age.
Okay, so because I know some of these gentlemen we've worked with, they 87 and they're feeling buff.
Good for them. I mean, yeah. We have clients that are 100 plus.
Oh yeah,
and they are exercising. I mean, nothing strenuous. Just go for a walk.
Movement is life.
Yes, because you're exercising, and that it increases your appetite. So then you're eating well. Mm-hmm. So it goes full circle.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of people, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this from clients too. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are the way our age is extending out, you know, it's not unusual now to see people over 100 years.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
And if they've, that was number five too, is the physical activity. But if they are hitting those main points, you can really have a dynamic and very exciting elder life.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I mean, if you think about it, let's say you live until you're, I don't know, 80, and then you retire when you're 65. Mm-hmm. That is a big chunk of your life. Don't you want to be doing something that you enjoy?
Right.
You know, you still want to be healthy for those years, you know?
It's huge, huge important. And now we've had some clients that we had one lady, and I'll tell you a little story. It's cute. I'm talking about socialization. She was the epitome. And we started working with her. And she was in a colonial where half bath on the main, and stairs weren't her friend anymore. Uh-huh. Stairs becomes a lot of people's, you know, nemesis.
Yeah, that's true.
But you could just see like her hair wasn't done and her clothing was, you know, maybe worn a day or two more than it should have been. And then in her case, she moved to a community, but just that socialization, she became so vibrant. She started going and got on a golf team and was golfing twice a week, walking nine holes.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, just it was night and day. But it was that socialization, that physical activity, regardless of where it's at, is just hugely important.
Absolutely. Like our caregivers sometimes take our clients, you know, to the local senior center go to lunch or, you know, just do things like we have a few male caregivers, which is nice. We're very happy to have them. But let's say they take their client who's also a male and they go fishing. You know, they do something that you wouldn't even expect a caregiver to be doing with a client, but it really helps their well-being.
Oh, it's huge, huge. So let's say someone wanted to become, someone's listening to this and they go, gosh, you know what? I really have a heart for seniors. How would I go about becoming a caregiver? What would you suggest?
Just stop into our office. No, but, you know, you could, everyone applies online. They could call us. You could go to our websites, because when you go to the Home Instead website, there is like forms you can fill out for like an online inquiry. So maybe you're interested in receiving care for a loved one, so you might fill out those forms, or maybe you're interested in employment. We are fortunate. We are hiring people that are a little bit more mature, where a lot of industries are, you know, not interested in these
That's interesting.
People. So we have a lot of our caregivers that are 50 plus years old. And we have found that those are the best caregivers. A lot of them are going into a second career. So they may have been an executive in the auto industry. And now let's say now they're retired and they're maybe bored, but they want to make a difference in life. You know, then being a caregiver is a great fit for them.
Oh, that is really cool. Now, if someone, would it be beneficial for them to get CPR certified or anything of that nature just to come to you? Because I imagine you do get a lot of people applying. So something that would cause them to stand out from the
that would
populace.
Well, that would help out for sure. We have provided CPR training for our caregivers. But really, honestly, if you are a caring person,
that's
you're
the first step.
Responsible, ethical, you have an automobile, we can train you, you know, we can show people. And being a caregiver is really a position that helps you to feel good about yourself. You know that you're making a difference in someone's life. So if that's what you're looking for, then, you know, being a caregiver might be the right position for you.
Oh, I think that's awesome. I think it's, like you said, for a second career.
Yeah.
How great is that?
It's perfect. Or like women, now there's a couple out there that are housewives. You know, you don't see it as much. Usually most people are working, but let's say their kids are grown and they're so used to caring for their family and their husband and the kids. Right. So now they have this feeling of, you know, emptiness, like, oh, I don't have anyone to care for anymore. You know, but if they enjoy being around seniors, then, you know, they could care for one of our seniors.
Oh, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. So if to sum up things a little bit, just highlighting the, let's go through again, someone wants your services. Uh-huh. What's the best way to reach out to you and get those services and the whole process real quick?
The best way is to give us a call.
Okay.
If you don't know our phone number, you can put in Home Instead Senior Care.
You can tell them the phone number if you want.
Okay. It's 586-992-0100. So please give us a call. And you might even get me. You might even get me on the phone or one of my associates. And we'll go through the whole process with you over the phone. And, you know, when they're interested, we set up a care consultation. So you get me or one of my associates and we will come to your home and we usually meet with, an adult child is usually there. They don't have to be, but they usually are. And, you know, the senior that's interested in the care, we'll do a full assessment. And if you're ready at that point to move forward with receiving care, we'll have our papers there. You have a few things that need to be completed. And then we begin putting together the perfect match for the family.
Okay. So from start, the day I pick up the phone to the day, you know, dad is getting the care he needs, what do you think an average time frame?
Well, I don't like to rush things.
I agree.
Because when you rush things, then you just feel like, oh God, we're in such a hot hurry.
Yep.
And we want everything to be perfect. So I would say it's usually about a week.
Okay.
We could do a little shorter than that. But like I said, we really want to put some time and effort into making the right match.
Totally agree. And I think that's the biggest point I was trying to get to is that don't wait till the last minute because it makes for a bad situation, not only for the extra strain it puts on your company, but on the elder you're trying to help.
Yeah.
That. You know, hey, call you guys 30 days in advance.
Exactly. Oh, that would be wonderful. That people don't normally do that. It's stressful for the senior, too. They don't have a chance to digest the idea. Like when someone calls us and says, I need someone to help mom tomorrow.
Oy.
I know. And imagine how mom's feeling. Oh, tomorrow someone's coming? Oh, I didn't know. You know, so it's just a good idea to just give it a little time. It sinks into seniors, you know, thoughts and what's going on. And then it gives us a chance to make the perfect match.
Well, and we all have different speeds of processing. Mm-hmm. And to not allow them to actually process a thought of, okay, there's a stranger going to come in.
Yeah.
I know they're going to be looking out for my best interest, but there's a stranger coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just got to be so difficult.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard on them too. Yeah. I try to tell the caregivers that because our caregivers, I mean, they've been doing it for a very long time. We have employees that have been working there longer than I have because we have amazing employee retention. Anyway, so I say put yourself in the senior's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know you. You're an experienced caregiver. You've done this for numerous years. They've never had a caregiver in their house. So when you go in there,
that's a very good point.
Try to put yourself in their shoes, how they feel about it.
That is a very good point. So the takeaway, if we had the three things that you would love for a baby boomer to take away from this whole conversation, I'll throw number one out. Start early.
Uh-huh. For sure.
And what would be the other two?
Start early. I guess, oh man. Start early and then let your parents, you know, the senior loved one, let them be a part of this decision process. Don't make the decision for them. Together, you have to weigh out the pros and cons of how they want to live successfully. You know, and if they say, you know what, it's very important for me to remain in our home, then Home Instead is the perfect option for you. If they decide something else, then let them do something else. You know, let them have a say in how they want to age. And part of the thing where you said start early, I think it's important for seniors and their adult children to put together a plan for successful aging in all different avenues of their lives, their finances, their driving. So if you put together this plan, then you're ready for anything.
I think that is a fantastic idea because it's like anything, right? If a bill comes and you don't have the money to pay for it, lots of stress because you're not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it comes and you have the money, oh, well,
yeah,
here you go. Well, that is great. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on. I think it was just invaluable, the information you put out today, because this is something that people just don't know about until the actual moment they need it.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate you so much. Why don't you tell us the best way to get a hold of you?
Okay.
And go ahead.
You can get a hold of us via phone at 586-992-0100. Or we have an amazing website, and that is at homeinstead.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Stephanie Aldridge from Home Instead Senior Care. And thank you very much for listening to Baby Boomer University. Hit the button below if you want to get a hold of Stephanie. We can put you in contact also. And at that point, class is dismissed.